allowed you. Is that, have you got? Fine, fantastic. Okay. Okay, so we're just going to go over. We had Rabbi Yossi, we recap what Rabbi Yossi said. Had the second part of the Mishnah was a machloikus, whether or not you have to have two aidim for that straw. That shit is Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakhama seems to hold, nope, it could be anyone. And the Rava and the Gemara says it could even be a shade. A demon can warn him. Even Atzmai, which we had, Rashi said that means the victim, and the Rambam says it actually means the perpetrator. Yeah, what was the background behind the Machlokas? The Gemara says, because it said, the Mishnah says, Al Pishnai made him. And the Gemara brings a stira on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi elsewhere says, the Soina, someone who's hated, someone who hates someone, and he kills that person, does not need Hasrot, because obviously he killed him out of hate. And if Hasrot was a din that you need to aid him, that wouldn't fit, because Rabbi Yossi says you have to have two aid him. And that wouldn't fit if you wouldn't need, you know, one person to give Asra. But if the question was to discern whether or not he was shaking or mazed, then one aid would be enough, surely. Why need two aid in giving you a Hasra? And the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, there's two Rabbi Yossis. One Rabbi Yossi holds that the Rabbi Yossi we brought from elsewhere is the shitter that holds that Hasra is only given to discern between shaking and mazed. But the Rabbi Yossi and our Mishnah holds that there's a din hasra, which we explained is some sort of din that you have to makabel a lot. He has to accept upon himself the punishment in order to get it. If not, he wouldn't. The Gemara calls yata atzma lemisa. He has to sort of be mat himself, agree and accept that he's got the death penalty before he carries out the act. That's when we can give him the punishment, the death penalty. So that's the two options why hasra is there. Then we went on to the din in the Mishnah, that the last final din in the Mishnah, Pishnaim Adim to the math of two Adim, which comes to exclude that you cannot use a translator in between them. And we brought the story of Rava, who that some foreign people came to his based in, and he made a translator. And the Gemara asked, well, the Mishnah says you can't make a translator, to which the Gemara answers, Rava knew the language they were speaking, he understood what they were saying. The question was to speak back to them, and that's okay to make a translator, because the whole problem is that Edom have to be direct to the judges. The judges back to the Edom, that's not a problem. And I checked up. It seems to be, actually, at this dinner, Pishnaim Edom also comes to say that you can't give it testimony through writing your testimony on a piece of paper, and it's all the same parameters to it. You can't make a translator in between. It's all the same dinim. Learn out from there. Which everyone agrees to. It's not a right. Question of one person saying that in the end of the Mishnah.
It's like a really complicated logic. It's like we're saying that because on one thing we're a more makel, then we just like have a feedback loop, which makes
Would you be? I'm not understanding that point. Why is that? Why do you think it's a feedback
loop? Well, because we're saying I'm trying to remember. You know, again from your summary from last week. But we're trying to use, we're saying that in Dine Momonos, we're prepared to go Lekula. So therefore, why can't we use a Lekula for Dine Nefashos?
Right, that's the previous Gemara, right.
Yeah, but and then this Rava thing, it seems to do it the other way around, I think, you know?
Well, this did is being by Dine Momonos, being by Dine Nefashos. It's not really... This is Stamadin in the way the Sanhedrin or the Beis Din accept the testimony. It has to be done direct. It's not specific to Nefashos or Momonos. So this is a sort of a separate din. That was the first point in the Mishnah, whether or not, you know, by din Nefashos, there was such a din that there's Adis Miuchedes. By din Momonos, there's not such a din of Adis Miuchedes. But this is a separate din that... to give testimony, it has to be through direct basting. So no translators in between, and no writing down the testimony to give that instead of giving testimony by speech. Then we move on to Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. We had this little story over here between Eloi and Tuvia, who were Edom. Two people called, one called Eloi and one called Tuvia. They were relatives of the Ore, the guarantor. So there's a case, Reuben, Shimon, Levi. Reuben lent money to Shimon, and Levi was a guarantor for the loan. So they were relative to the guarantors. The question was, could they give testimony on the actual loan? And the Rav Popper thought to say, well, they're not relatives to the loiber, the malva, the lender, the borrower, and therefore maybe being relatives to the guarantor won't make a difference. To which Gemara says, Rapuna Brady of Yeshua says to Rav Popper, what do you mean? The guarantor is very affected by this, because if Shimon won't pay back Reuven, then they'll go to Levi to get the money, and therefore it's very relevant to Levi. And since it's relevant to Levi, the Eloi Vetuvia, who are relatives to Levi, can't give testimony in the whole court case. Now, there is a whole discussion. It seems like a very innocent Gemara, but there is a massive discussion. I didn't go into it at all, but just there is a massive discussion to show them what kind of Edim are they, what are they trying to say? Are they trying to say there is a Halva or there's no Halva? And there's a long discussion, each Rishon sort of shredding the other Rishon, how to understand this Gemara, because it seems to be many problems with it. Meaning, if they're giving testimony that there was a Halva, let's say, if they give testimony there wasn't a halva, why would that affect the guarantor? There was no halva in the first place, though. Or that he's paid back, then how would that affect the guarantor? And many different details within that. But on a basic level, this Gemara is just here to tell us, don't think a secondary style negius, any like secondary stage where it makes it negia to him, not direct, but indirectly, that would say that they could be testify. We're saying, no, you can't testify in that case. Okay, so...
Well, your picture's frozen, by the way.
My picture's frozen, still?
I think so. Or is it just my side? Is it me that's causing the freezing?
I don't know. I can't hear David or Bill. Is it okay on your
side?
No,
it's fine for now, yeah.
Okay, please let me know if there is any problems. Okay, am I clear, though? Is the speech clear?
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Fine. So are we happy to start the mission on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph?
Okay. Yes.
Fine. So Misha Nigma Dinoi, the last mission in this parak. Misha Nigma Dinoi. Someone who's had a Gemar Din. So, you know, Reuven was paskened in Basin A, in Yerushalayim, let's say, that he was Chayav Misa. Barach Mi managed to run away. But then they bring him back to that Basin. Ein Seisrus Dinoi. We don't start judging again. You know, he had the Pesach Din. Just because he ran away does not cause us to reevaluate his court case. He's put straight to death. Now, another Kol Mokoim Chiyam Dushnayim. Any place you have two Edim coming to Beis Din, the Yomer, they'll say, Me'idim Onab Be'ish Peloinim, will give him testimony about a certain person, Shenigma Dino Be'Beis Din Shapleini, that he was paskin to have a death penalty in a certain Beis Din. Let's say they come to Shulayim and they say he was paskin to give a death penalty in Bnei Brak. Harry Zeyuhorig, Ploini Ploini Adov, and so and so were his Edom that he killed. Harry Zeyuhorig, so he gets a death penalty. Meaning to say, you don't have to reevaluate the whole court case. You can, even in a different basin, if two Edom come and say there was a Pesach Din in the other basin that he has a death penalty, and so are his Edom about the Misa, that he killed someone, you don't have to start reevaluating and see, did he kill or not kill? We've got Aiden testifying that he had a Gemar Din, and that's sufficient enough for us to give him death penalty. Sanhedrin Neheges Be'eret V'chutzaret. Sanhedrin, you have a Sanhedrin, whether it's in Israel, also outside Israel, you always have to have a Sanhedrin. Another Din. Sanhedrin Heireges Echad B'Shvua Nikris Chivlanis. If you have a Sanhedrin who is putting people to death once a week, that's already a very dangerous base. Chivlanis means, I guess, a basin who is very murderous basin. Rebelezim and Azario, you know, Rebelezim and Azario held, Echlet Shivim Shon, not just once a week, once in 70 years, that is already considered a murderous basin. Rebetavra Bekiva Ibrim, they hold, Elu Hoyim Sanhedrin, if we were on the Sanhedrin, seems to be they were, or maybe there was afterwards, we would never allow anyone to get killed. And the Gemara is going to explain what they would do in order to not allow anyone to get killed. What does that mean? The Rishim said back to them, they would Through their innocence and trying to save people, they would actually murder people, because if you would let everyone off and be able to not invoke the death penalty ever and not invoke that fear, then obviously people would kill and not be scared of the death penalty, and there wouldn't be a deterrent. So just the Mishnah saying various din about Sanhedrin. First of all, if there's a Gemar din in a Beis Din and he runs away and he comes back, we don't have to reevaluate the court case. He straight puts it back to death. A different Beis Din, if Edom come and say Reuven had a Gemar din in a different Beis Din and these were Edom, then he gets put to death in that Beis Din. You don't have to go through the whole court case again. And then we had that you have to have Sanhedrin Eretz Yisrael, also outside Eretz Yisrael. And we had that there's a certain frequency where Beis Din are considered a murderous Beis Din. So the first shitta in the Mishnah was once a week already is considered murderous. And the other shitta says, no, even once in every 70 years is considered murderous. And then we have the last shitta which held, they would try and make sure that no one get killed. And Rav Shimon Gamliel replies back to them, well, you're being very nice to people, and that would take away any deterrent of anyone going to kill someone. Okay, so says the Gemara.
So it's actually saying it's very short-termist to not kill anyone. You're just going to cause more bloodshed, because then you're going to have murders on the streets instead of murders by the Beis Din.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly the point of the Mishnah. Yeah. Basically, this great debate about death penalty should it be again nowadays? This is already argued about in the Mishnah in Makkos Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. So if it ever comes up again, this debate can reference the Gemara.
It's you have this debate in America, don't you, about whether people should be able to bear arms to shoot people dead if they go onto their property or not.
I guess similar sort of thing. Yeah. Would you be Marbe Shefri Domim, or are you which around to go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Says the Gemara. With deducing from the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if he runs away from Beis Din, he had the Gemar Din in Beis Din, and he runs away, and he comes back to that Beis Din, we don't reevaluate the court case, he gets put to death. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah sounds that specifically that Beis Din, if he comes back to that Beis Din, yeah, they catch him, doesn't run away to a different province, then he gets a death penalty. Then ain't so we don't reevaluate. However, if he comes to a different Beis Din, if a different Beis Din chap him, then we do it again. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. Only that Beis Din we don't reevaluate. Different Beis Din we would reevaluate. Ask the Gemara. Hotoni say for the second part of the Mishnah says, "Komokim shiyam dushnayim." If you have a case where two edim come, the yomim be edim onu es ish ploini, they give him testimony about a certain person. Shnigma dinoi, he had a gemar din. The based in ploini, in a certain based in ploini edim, and these two people were his edim. How is there an error? He gets killed. What do you mean? We have to start reevaluating the court case. Only in that based in that pask in the din, and you come back to that based in, that's when you don't do it. However, a different based in. It sounds like the Mishnah you wouldn't reevaluate. So how comes the next part of the Mishnah, exact Mamish line later, says if you got Edom coming to testify that he had a psak in that Beis Din, then he gets put to death and we don't reevaluate. Yeah, it's a contradiction in implication between the Reisha and the Sefer. Do we say only that Beis Din specifically is when we don't reevaluate? However, another Beis Din, yes. Or from the Sefer, it sounds like any time that you got testimony in a different Beis Din that he had sucked in the first Beis Din, then he would get the death penalty and we don't reevaluate. Because obviously the only way, remember, if he runs away from the first Beis Din, he comes in front of a different Beis Din, how would that different Beis Din know he got the death penalty in the first Beis Din? How would they know? Only through Edom. So if that's the only way to know. So why are we saying that the implication of the first statement of the Mishnah is that you would in a different Beis Din, they would be reevaluated, have another court case?
Oh, he would. It's not. You mean it's a full court case done again? Not just they're allowing some additional evidence to be supplied at the last minute, just before the executioner done his job.
Right, exactly. So imagine it this way. He gets tried in the regional court, and then imagine he makes an appeal, he runs away, and then they bring him before the high court. So usually there's a contradiction implications. The first part of the mission would say, well, what would happen would be, he's in a new Basden, he's in the high court, so the high court has to pass him again.
Mm.
Whereas the second part of the mission says, well, all you have to do is get two Aiden, they were present in the regional court, bring them to the high court and say, well, in the regional court, he received a death penalty. So the high court have to start going through the case. They can say, well, the regional court gave a death penalty, we'll give a death penalty here too, without going through the court case. That's essentially
What about the punishment for running away?
Well, I mean, you can't give a bigger death penalty, punishment, death penalty. What would you want him to do to him?
Well, then you automatically... Shouldn't you go to Chumrah because the person ran away?
Chumrah in what? What would you do more Chumrah than?
I suppose so.
Maybe you'll give it... You want him to get the skila instead of... I don't know. So I mean, we don't stop his death penalty. We can't give him a stricter.
Maybe get lashes for running away, and then you can move on to the other more important issue of whether he gets the death penalty.
I mean, it's never mandated anywhere that running away deserves a punishment. Although I understand your logic why it should do, but maybe Basin would give that. It's not a Torah mandated punishment. It's a If Basin feel that he should get punishment for running away, they can invoke that if they want. But that's it's not one that the Torah says you should have.
I see.
I mean, no one in the Torah does really say there's a prison, except Ari Miklot, which is going to run next Barak. But I don't think anywhere in the Torah, well, there is a concept that's actually mentioned by a few times where they didn't know what to do with him, by Slothchod, let's say. They didn't know what they found to give him. It says they put him in prison. But there isn't really a concept of prison. I'm sure that Sanhedrin had some form of prison because they didn't want their criminals they were trying to be let loose, I guess. But
it's very interesting, isn't it, that there's no such thing as prison.
Right, they would get the punishment they had, and that would get that off they would go. I mean, maybe in when we learn Masechta Sanhedrin, we'll see. You know, maybe there'll be something there about. Some form of prison mandated by the Chazal, but not Okay. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. A stereotype implications. Do we retry him in a different basin or not? So answers the Gemara. Loi kasha. It's not shver. Kam be'ez Yisrael, kam b'chutz la'aretz. It depends what happens here. Eretz Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara. The Tanya, we learn the Brisa. We heard him say to Stoy Omer. We heard him say would say, "B'shem b'shem b'shatach, name b'shem b'shatach." Borach, if he runs away, Eretz b'chutz la'aretz from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz, in such a mysterious, then we don't reevaluate. So he comes from Shulaim and he runs away to Cairo. Yeah. So the base in Cairo would not reevaluate the court case. We not rejudge. Mechutz la'aretz, however, it's the other way around, from Cairo to Yerushalayim. So it's mesdina. We do rejudge him. Why? It plays the chus l'shel Eretz Yisrael, a special chus everyone has when they go to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi adds in in the chus Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Beis Din will manage to find him as a chus and upturn his psak din. It's like a, I guess, what we'd consider nowadays an appeal to the High Court. So the Beis Din Yerushalayim, the schus of being in Israel, gives him an appeal to the High Court. So that answers the Mishnah, so it depends. In the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about where he runs away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Aretz. Then we don't the other round. He runs away from Chutz Aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Then we say a different Beis Din has to rejudge him. Only that Beis Din don't rejudge him. However, the other way around, if he runs away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Aretz, then as long as two Eidim come along and say, well, he had a Psak Din in Eretz Yisrael, then we will put him to death. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Sanhedrin Neheges. So we, this is the part of the Mishnah which says, how often, what's the frequency of beis din killing in order to consider it a murderous beis din? No, sorry. This is part of the Mishnah saying that you have to have a Sanhedrin in all places, wherever you live. So in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz-Lorets, says the Gemara. But not anybody, as we know, the Torah says you have to have this. The Torah Rabbanon, V'hoyu eile lochem l'chukas mishpot l'deri seichem. The Pasuk tells us, in Parashas I think it's actually Parashas Matnas Masi coming up. V'hoyu eile lochem l'chukas mishpot l'deri seichem v'chom l'ishvei seichem. You have to have, it's talking about referencing to Bati Dinim. You have to have them everywhere. B'chol mishvei seichem, all your dwelling places, wherever there are Yidden, you have to have a beis din. The Madrash and Hezhin Neheges, Be'eret, V'chutz Aretz. We see from there, this pasuk tells us there has to be a beis din everywhere. Im Kain, asks the Gemara, Matam Leima Bishorecha. The pasuk tells us in Devarim, Shoftim, in the beginning of Pasuk, Shoftim, V'shoftim, Titim, B'chol Shorecha. You should have judges in every one of your gates. Now, Shorecha refers to Eretz Yisrael. V'shorecha to Moshe Bati Dinim. Only in your gate, Eretz Yisrael, do you have the Bati Dinim. Sorry, that's full stop. Matamale B'shorecha. Why does it say B'shorecha, which sounds like only Eretz Yisrael? Answer the Gemara, B'shorecha at Moshe Bati Dinim, B'chol Plach B'chach, U'v'chol E'v'e'i. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to have a Beis Din. In every Plach is a province, B'chol E'v'e'i in every city. You have to have every province and every city. So in every province is, I think, bigger than a city, so it's not enough to have one in the province. You have to have in every city in the province. In the Chutz Aretz, in the Chutz Aretz, at the Moshe B'chol Plach B'chach, you just have to have in each province. The at the Moshe B'chol Iver Eir, but you don't have to have in every city. So, although there is a contradiction between the words B'chol Mishvei Seichem, which sounds like you have to have it everywhere, to the word B'shorecha, which sounds only Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara is answering, in Eretz Yisrael you have to have in every city. However, in Chutz Aretz, you only have to have in every province.
Well, where is the province? B'chol Pelech Ufelech. But why not just B'chol Pelech?
I think it's just the lashon of the Gemara to say B'chol Plach V'Plach in every province, B'chol Iver in every city. It's just the way the Gemara writes every.
It's like in Megillah, it's ear of the ear. You know, in
Megillah. I guess, yeah, that's a good comparison. I guess, yeah.
But you know, so you don't think it's telling us something, that there's something more important about provinces or something learning out the way it says.
But why are you pointing? Why are you happy B'chol Iver Eir, but you're not happy B'chol Plach V'Plach? Why are you more happy with the fact that the Gemara repeats Eir, but not Plach?
I think there is something that we were meant to learn from the fact that it doesn't just say Eir, but Eir, but Eir. There is something about that we're meant to learn from it in the Megillas Esther. I don't know what it is, but I think there is.
Remember, in Megillas Esther, we're talking about Kesuvim. So there is a lot more to say about Kesuvim than it is about the Gemara. So,
Is this purely Amorayim only making this Pelech, the Felech? Is it purely them? It's not from a posuk or anything.
I don't see any posuk reference there. I think it's just the way the Gemara writes every province, the whole plach, uplach, in every. Imagine writing in English, you'd say every single.
Right.
As opposed to b'chol plach in each province, you'd say every single province. It's just the way I think you write in Aramaic, but I might be wrong. So that's just my understanding. I could check up if there's anything different, but okay. So maybe let's just see if we can finish off real quickly. Sanhedrin Hayreges. Sanhedrin who kills Iboiluhu. Achas, we said in the Mishnah, every week, if it kills every week, that's already considered murderous. And then the Mishnah says every 70 years. Now the Gemara asks, Iboiluhu, let me ask you. Does it mean to say once every 70 years is considered murderous? Or maybe once every 70 years is Beseda? More than once every 70 years, that's already murderous. So it's not sure the implication of the Mishnah. Once in 70 years is considered murderous. Does that mean more than once in 70 years? Or even once in 70 years, that's already murderous? Teiku says in Gemara, we're not actually sure. We don't know. There's no raya either way. In the first case of the Mishnah, it was quite clear to the Gemara that once a week is already considered murderous. But once every 70 years, that's a very far, a long time in between, that the Gemara thinks, well, that maybe that's not murderous. And the Gemara is actually not sure. Okay.
Why the number of 7 is important here.
Right. It's
good. So either well, 7 years, 70 seven, years.
But it's not 7 years. Achar Peshvua, I think, actually means a week. But maybe I'm wrong. Actually, now you mentioned a week. Now you mentioned every 7 years. I do think it means once a week. But it does seem quite a different machlokes. Achar Peshvua could actually mean, you're right, it does mean 7 years. I made a mistake. That makes much more sense. I was actually thinking in the back of my mind, once a week to once a 70 years already sounds too vast a machlokes to have. I think you're right that Achar Peshvua means once every 7 year cycle. Although the modern Hebrew Shvuah means a week, but I don't think the mission means a week. I think you're right. It means 7 years.
But yeah, I was thinking, what's the significance of 7? That maybe just
yeah. Example. I do hear your point. Why 7?
Maybe it is to do with the Shemitah cycle.
Yeah, I do hear.
But then you'd have 50. 50 would become significant as well.
It's not necessary.
Sorry? Sorry. Hello?
Now it's frozen.
Is it better now?
We lost for a minute.
No, I was just saying, it could just be a just happenstance that once in 7 years, it happened in Machlokes. Not specifically relevant to number 7, but maybe it's something to do with Shemitah. I do hear your point. Yeah.
If it was to Shemitah, though, it would be 7 or then 49 or 50, not 70.
Maybe, yeah. Again, I don't think we're bound by the Yovel. It could be,
Could be the length of the gullus after the first base of Mikdash was destroyed.
Maybe.
That was 70, right?
Yeah, that was 70 years, I believe.
Or could it be the lifespan of, the lifespan
Tom of the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah, or the lifespan of a Kohen Gadol. Because,
how does it start off? 70 years is the lifespan of an average person.
Yes, in Tehillim that we say on Shabbos.
Yes, I've got the beginning of the pasuk, but I hear all the suggestions again. We have to be careful. Maybe the Gemara is just saying something that happens to be. Okay, so we'll leave it there for tonight. But the next piece of Gemara is a bit interesting Gemara, and then we'll be finished with Perek Mitzvah Shem, starting a new Perek. Actually, I'm just thinking now that the timing of this starting a new Perek is quite appropriate because Matis Masi is about Ari Miklot.
Right, okay. Oh, well, so the next Perek is about Ari Miklot.
Yeah.
One second, we've got some. Phil has.
Yeah, I'm just trying to check my chat. Sorry, let me just see. We've got the previous. Interesting question. No, that's okay. A mute person. So I think generally in the Gemara does consider.
Did you purposely put yourself on mute?
David, are you still there? I'm still there.
Yeah, and I don't know, is it a shtick that he muted himself when he talked about a mute?
Yeah, both seem to be muted now.
I did not realise. Sorry, I had no idea. Yeah. You were yes. both talking, and I was like, what's going on here? Sorry.
You were muted, ironically.
Okay, now Phil, what I was saying...
You're on mute. Phil, do you know that you're on mute? It might not be...
Okay, so no, we were just saying that a mute person, I think, in the Gemara's terms, is considered a shaita, and therefore was possible to aid us. But maybe the circumstances where he just happened to be a mute much later on in life, he's not considered a shaita. I think I'm right in saying this. I'm not entirely sure. I know a cheirish is considered that. A mute person might have the same category. Although you're probably right. Would he be able to give testimony? It would seem from our Gemara or not. But I'm not certain about it. But I have no reason to say why that he should be kosher. All right, thank you very much for coming. We'll see everyone on Tuesday, Mitzvah Hashem, at 9:15.
Yeah, thank you. Jonathan, I'll text you about that message.
Okay,
it's in other shirim on the homepage. I had a look the other day.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, thanks.
It's under Amajemi.
Okay. Thanks, David, and thanks, Phil. So, Osher, when do you want us to advertise that we're starting?